weather. Brother Harmon called me yesterday and wanted to know if I'd come to Puerto Rico. Man, let me come to Puerto Rico. So nice and warm there, right, guys? No, not for me. For you, yes. And it was warm when we were there. How long ago was it? 3-4 years ago? It's 4 years ago when we went to Puerto Rico? About 4 years ago, somewhere around there. Went down right after Hurricane Maria and helped our missionary kind of redo some work there at his church, Maranatha Baptist Church. And he asked if I'd come down and preach a missions conference for him. And so we were really busy yesterday through the day. And so I said, well, let me think and pray about this and we'll see. It was at the end of this month. That's how quick it was going to be. The guy that he had scheduled couldn't make it or something. And so I was kind of thinking about, well, maybe I will. That would be kind of interesting to go down and preach a missions conference. It was 3 days. It was a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. I just said, well, let me see what I can come up with and you know, at this late notice. And so then he texted me last night around 8:30 and says, no, I don't need you now. So, well, okay, I thought. And so he said, but another time. Apparently somebody else had already confirmed that they could go down and preach the conference. And so I was kind of torn a little bit through the day. I was thinking about, you know, I'd love to go, but then again, you know, I probably couldn't take Kathy and have to go alone. But, you know. So anyway, I'm not going to Puerto Rico. I'm not getting out of this cold. I got to stay where it's cold. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Might get up into the 40s. I'm waiting for it to get back into the 80s. That's what I'm waiting for. 80s. 80s. Yes. Hey, we have been blessed this winter so far. if global warming is real, hallelujah. Amen. I'm just, whatever this climate change is, but that we know that it's not a man-made climate change, right? We might get some comments on that, but we don't believe it's a man-made thing. It's the earth goes through cycles, and we're just going through a cycle, whatever that may be. We don't control the weather. God takes care of that. And the way that God created the earth and the atmosphere and the moon and all that other stuff, it has something to do with it. I am thankful that I think we've only plowed once so far in the parking lot. I've had the plow off more than I've had it on. That's a blessing. So, anyway, let's get into the message tonight. Matthew chapter 9, if you can stand for the reading of the Word. We're going to read the first 13 verses of Matthew 9, starting in verse 1, going down to verse 13, including verse 13. I'll read it out loud. You just follow along. All right? Matthew 9, verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. You know what that his own city was? Capernaum. Capernaum. That's where Jesus headquartered out of, was Capernaum in that area. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. It's a blessing, it's an honor, and a privilege to be in your house tonight. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts through the message, through the passage of Scripture that we just looked at and other Scriptures that we're going to read tonight. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts, open our hearts to receive the truth. Lord, we pray for those that may not be saved. There may be somebody here tonight that's not saved. We don't know. I don't know. Only you know that, Lord, and they know that. Lord, there may be somebody listening to us tonight online that does not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, for Christians that you would get a hold of hearts. This country needs a revival. This church here needs a revival. Every Christian needs to be revived. And Lord, we need to get serious for you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd get a hold of hearts and souls tonight. And Lord, we pray this country again is in dire straits. Lord, we need help tonight. And the only help that we can really be assured of is the help that you can give. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd work in the hearts and the souls of the leaders of this nation. We pray that people would turn back again to you, that the churches in this country would wake up, that Christians would wake up and realize that we are living in the last days and we don't have much time, much longer here on this planet, and we need to serve you while we can. So, Lord, bless us. Be with us. Again, encourage us, challenge us through the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are several things here we could spend a lot of time. Obviously, you could take anything from the Bible and spend a lot of time on it. You could take any verse and dissect that verse and make a sermon out of that verse. So there's a lot here. There's a lot of notes I have written in my Bible from this passage of Scripture. I just want to try to give you some main things here from that. But again, Jesus traveled across the Sea of Galilee. We see that in a previous chapter. And he heals, great multitudes were following him. He healed those two men of Gadara, and those devils went into those swine, and the swine ran down into the Sea of Galilee, and they were choked. And so Jesus, again, goes back to his hometown of Capernaum. That's where Peter was, where Peter's home was, is in Capernaum. And Jesus, again, was going back to his own city. That's what verse 1 says. And they brought, in verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Most of us probably know what the palsy is. It's a paralysis. It could have been a shaking paralysis. Some believe that it could have been something like a Parkinson's disease that this man had, but obviously he couldn't walk. He was paralyzed of some sort. He was lying on a bed, and of course his friends, they brought him to Jesus Christ. It's interesting because I've underlined the two words, they brought. The friends of this man, they're the ones that brought this man to Jesus. And Jesus, in verse 2, when he's seeing their faith, there's nothing mentioned about the faith of this particular man. It was the faith of the people that brought this man to Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He honored their faith. He saved this man, not only physically, but he saved the man spiritually because of the faith of these other men that brought him to Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What grace of God do we see here that Jesus poured out upon this man simply because these other gentlemen, they brought this man to Jesus Christ. They and their mentioned there in verse 2. Obviously, too, in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus took care of the spiritual need first, and then he took care of the physical need afterwards. So many today are praying for a physical healing, and I'm not against that. Pray for a physical healing. But maybe Jesus or God does not want you to be physically healed. And so many people today, they get upset at God because he won't heal of a physical infirmity that somebody may have. But the most important thing that you and I need to be healed of is the spiritual part of us. Because that lasts forever. The physical doesn't last forever. The physical is only temporary. The physical infirmity that maybe that you are suffering with or going through in your own life, that's only temporary. When you leave this planet, that physical problem ceases to exist and never exists again throughout all eternity. But you need to be concerned about the spiritual aspect of your life. It's sad that so many today aren't looking at the spiritual thing. They're looking more at the physical part of their lives. They pray for physical blessings, material things. And so few are praying for the spiritual blessings and the spiritual things that people need in their lives. I think we ought to change our prayer life. I think we ought to be praying more for the spiritual aspect and the physical least. Even if you're going through a physical problem yourself, understandably, God can take care of that if He so desires. But what if He doesn't choose to do that? Are you going to get mad at God and shake your fist at God and just stop praying? Are you going to get mad at God and stop coming to church? Are you going to get mad at God and stop reading your Bible? Are you going to get mad at God and stop giving just because God is not healing you physically? How concerned are you about your spiritual health? How concerned about your faith in God and faith in what the Lord does and the faith that you can put in the Word of God? How is your spiritual health tonight? More than your physical health. I think we ought to be more concerned about the spiritual than the physical. Not saying that God can't heal physically, because we know that He certainly can. And He does in so many different situations. If God chooses to heal, He'll heal. If God doesn't choose to heal, you still need to be strong spiritually regardless. Let me give you three quick things here tonight out of this passage of Scripture. Number one, we see the character of Jesus Christ. His character. When you think about the character or the characteristics of the Lord, what do you think about? Well, I have several things written down. We could discuss these all night long. Some of the character, the characteristics that come to mind. How about humility? How about holiness? How about His righteousness? How about His purity? How about His love? How about His forgiveness? We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. How about His compassion? When He saw the multitudes, Jesus what? Had compassion. How about His endurance? Or do we need an endurance like Jesus had? A never-quitting mindset in our own lives. Not quitting because Jesus didn't quit. That to me is a characteristic, His endurance. How about His submission to His Heavenly Father? That's a characteristic. How is your submission to one another? How about His kindness? He just was kind. I mean, He let the Pharisees have it. And the scribes, right? He nailed those religious leaders that came into contact with Him. He called them exactly what they were. Jesus did call names. He called them hypocrites. Hypocrite means an actor. Right? I mean, that's what the biblical term for hypocrite is, an actor. An actor or an actress, all they're doing is they're acting out something that they're really not. And that's what those religious leaders did. But Jesus was still kind. He was kind to the lost. He was kind to the needy. And He was full of generous living and generous giving. Jesus was. And we probably could name a whole bunch more of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to focus in here on His power tonight. His power. The power that the Lord had. Just before this situation, they're traveling across the Sea of Galilee and a huge storm comes about. And Christ was asleep, I believe, in the ship, in the boat, and the storm was so bad that the disciples thought that they were going to lose their lives. And Jesus just gets up, and after they rudely woke Him up, He comes out, and He rebukes the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm in verse 26 of chapter 8. A great calm. And in verse 27, the Bible says, and the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Well, He created the winds. He created the sea. He created everything that we know of. We would look at that as the great power of God. To be able to speak the worlds into being, you and I, we have no power like that. We can't speak something into being. A lot of times when we say things, we wish that we didn't say them. How often do you say something to your spouse or to your family or to somebody else, maybe even in church, or a working person that you work with, you say something and you wish you didn't say it. It's too late after you've said it. But he had great power over the nature. He had great power over devils. He was able to cast out devils. He was able to heal the blind and take care of the deaf and heal the lepers. He was able to do all of that. He had tremendous power over disease. If Jesus was walking on this planet right now and somebody had the COVID-19 virus, he could heal them just like that. Or any other disease, if you came in touch with the Lord, he was able to take care of that. He even had power over death. He was able to raise the dead from being dead and give them new life. His power never failed. He never one time was able to do something and then have that fail. Oh, I wonder why that didn't work. The Lord couldn't do that. If he said for the leper to be healed, the leper was healed. If he said for the dead to raise, Lazarus come forth, what happened? Lazarus came out of the tomb. He didn't say, I wonder why that's not working. Lazarus, where are you? How come you're not out here yet? Lazarus immediately got up and walked out. When he healed the blind men and when he gave hearing to the deaf, immediately, Jesus' power, it never failed. When he rebuked the winds and the sea, he didn't have to say it twice. One time. That was it. His power never failed one time. His miracles were immediate. Not like some of the fake healers today. Where you'll come to a faith healer and he's getting up here and he's preaching and people are coming down in wheelchairs and he, you know, the fake healer, you know how that goes. You probably have seen some of those and the person gets up and wobbles around, maybe falls down and gets up again. If that was Jesus healing, the guy jumped out of the wheelchair and was running around the church. Or whatever it is that he was healing them from. It didn't come in stages. It was the miracle was immediate. And you know what? It was lasting. Do you know that Lazarus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he was alive until he died the second time? Obviously, poor Lazarus, he had to die twice. He died once, and then I'm back to life. And later on in life, somehow, sometime after that, he died again. But the people that he restored their sight to, I don't think they ever went blind again. Those that were healed with their hearing, they never went deaf again. The lepers never went back to being a leper again. These miracles, they were lasting miracles. What was the purpose of these miracles that Jesus did in the Gospels? You know, recorded in the Gospels, there's maybe, 40 or so miracles that Jesus did, but we know there was probably thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles that Jesus did. The Bible many times would say that he healed the multitudes. That's a lot of healing. That's a lot of miracles that Jesus performed. You can't put a number on his miracles. You can't say, well, he only performed about 40 miracles. No, he performed a lot more than 40. But the purpose of his miracles were fourfold. Let me give you these four things, the reason, and then I'll get into what I'm trying to get to here tonight. But the purpose of his miracles, they proved that he was the promised Messiah. Israel had been waiting for years, hundreds of years, for the Messiah to arrive. Jesus comes on the scene and the Messiah is here. He was here. He was not here, but he was there in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He was born of a virgin just like it was prophesied 700 or so years prior to him being born. He was here. The Messiah had come. And these miracles that Jesus performed were proof, positive, that he was the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Going all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, he is the promised seed that would come, the promised Messiah. Those miracles proved that he was the promised Messiah. Secondly, they were done so people would believe in him and on him. He is the Messiah. He did those miracles for the purpose of people believing on him so he could save their souls, forgive their sins, and give them eternal life. Because eternal life only comes from and through Jesus Christ. And so these miracles prove they were done so people would believe on Him. Look at John chapter 20. John 20 and verse 30. John 20 and verse 30. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that's the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. That was the purpose of the signs that Jesus was performing. The miracles that He was performing are the signs that that's talking about there. And so the people would believe on Him. Thirdly, they showed that God sent Him. That He was sent by God. He didn't just show up on His own. He always referred to His Father. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 36. John 5, 36. John 5, 36. John chapter 5, look at verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So those miracles that Jesus performed was proof positive that God the Father sent Him here to this planet for that purpose of being the Messiah and being the Lord and Savior that people needed. And then fourthly, the miracles that Jesus performed were proof of His deity, that He was God, is God, will always be God. Those miracles proved that He was God. Look at John 14. John 14, look at verse 8. John 14, 8. John 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, that it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Listen, Jesus Christ is God. If He's in the Father and the Father is in Him and He doesn't lie, that makes Jesus Christ God Almighty. He is God. So the miracles that He performed literally proved His deity. And so the power that Christ exemplified when He was here is just, they're amazing. The power that He has to speak the worlds into being, the power that He had to do all of these miracles. But how about His power in the gospel? Romans 1:16, you know the verse probably, but we'll look at it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Maybe you've got a favorite miracle that Jesus has done. Maybe you love talking about the one miracle that the Lord has done when He was here on this planet. But I'll tell you, to me, the greatest power that Jesus Christ has ever shown is the ability to be able to forgive us of our sins. To be able to change our destiny from hell to heaven. That takes power, and the great power of God is the only one that has the power to do that. Is to change our destiny from hell to heaven. To save the wicked sinners that we were. To give us hope of eternal life. The power is in the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we have the power of the gospel, or the power is in the gospel message. You know what the gospel is? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, explains to us what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The gospel is simply Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And there's power in that gospel. There's power in salvation, and that power is to be able to forgive us of our sins. That is, to me, the greatest power there is found in this forgiveness and the ability to save your soul and my soul. How do you know you're saved tonight? We know we're saved because of the witness of the Holy Spirit. Because the Word of God. And we know that we're saved tonight because that witness of the Holy Spirit is witnessing with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're a child of God. We're a son of God. We're a daughter of God. Mrs. Pelosi, you can't change that. I am a son of God. And you ladies and girls, you're daughters of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I just want to say that more now. I'm not going to say a woman. It's amen. Amen, amen, amen. I can say it, but it means absolutely nothing. The only sinner, listen to this, the only sinner that Christ can't save. You believe that Christ can save anybody?
Amen.
He can. But there is a sinner that He can't save. It's the sinner that rejects Him. Right? He can't save the sinner that rejects Him. The one who rejects His saving power, He can't save that person. Does He want to save them? Of course. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He can't save the one that rejects Him. He can't save the one that turns their back on Jesus Christ. He can't save them. He would love to save them. He wants to save them. If you're lost, He wants to save you. But if you continue to reject Him, He can't save you. And He won't save you if you continue to reject Him. If you'll turn from your sin and you'll turn from your way and turn unto Christ and to the Word of God and to God and through the Holy Spirit, then you can be saved. And He wants to save you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a blessing. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Galatians chapter 1, and verse 4. Galatians 1, 4. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 That He might deliver us from this present evil world. Would you say the world is evil tonight? Would you say that America is evil tonight? Yeah? Yeah? See, by being saved, we've been delivered from this present evil world. We don't have to worry about what happens in the future here in our life. And we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry what happens after January 20th when Mr. Biden is inaugurated into the presidency. We don't have to worry about what Congress is going to do or what the Senate is going to do. We don't have to worry about that. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for their salvation. We need to pray that God gets a hold of their hearts and changes them. Wouldn't it be great to see all of those leaders saved and an amazing revival take place in America? Can God do that? Of course He can. If they'll just listen to Him, if they'll listen to the prayers, God will listen to the prayers of His people. If we'll pray hard enough and ask God to change their minds and change their hearts and change their thoughts and change their ways. God can do that if they'll just listen. God is very capable of doing that. And I'll tell you, we have an amazing future ahead of us as Christians. We're going to inhabit and inherit heaven, a home in heaven. We have a hope in heaven. We have everything that God has given to us. Everything that Jesus Christ has, the Bible says we've inherited that also. What a blessing that is. And so He has delivered us. I've been delivered from this present evil world. Listen, we're living in the world, but we don't have to live like the world. We're living with our flesh, but we don't have to give in to our flesh. We have a power within us that allows us to be able to not give in to the whims and the ways of the world and the flesh and the devil. We give in to those things because we want to. Because we desire that. That's why we give in to that. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Good works don't save us. Good works, they'll come after salvation. Amen. Good works has nothing to do with our earning salvation, but good works is something that we do after we are saved. But again, Jesus gave Himself for us. He died in our place to redeem us from all, A-L-L, all iniquity. Not just the bad stuff, but all the stuff. All sin in the eyes of God is bad. All sin. Oh, that little white lie? Yeah, the little white lie is just as bad as a great big fat black lie, if you want to call it that. A lie is a lie. How many lies make you a liar? One lie. You could live to be 85 years old and only lie one time in your entire life. And you in the world's eyes, you're a good person. But it still makes you a liar. And the Bible says all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're not saved. If you're not saved. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. By the way, it says, by Himself purged our sins. No one else had to do it. Jesus did it all by Himself. It took His death, His burial, His resurrection. It took Him doing it by Himself. He has purged our sins. Washed us clean, whiter than snow. Snow's pretty white, huh? But He has purged us from our sins. Thank God He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus does not have to come back a second time and die on the cross for our sins. That's what Paul is saying here in that verse. When He comes back the next time, when He comes back the second time, He is going to take us out of this place. He doesn't have to die on a cross. That one death on the cross, the one time that He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary was enough. So when He comes back the second time, we're out of here. We're gone. Praise the Lord for that. I am looking forward to that more and more every single day. Are we getting closer to that? Absolutely. Every day, we're one day closer to the second coming, the rapture of Jesus Christ. It may happen tonight, and it may not. It may happen tomorrow, and it may not. It may happen the next day. We don't know when He's coming. We still might have 100 years on this planet left. I don't. I won't have 100 years. And most everybody in this room will not have 100 years. We don't know. But we are in a win-win situation. Whatever happens, happens. I want the Lord to come back in my lifetime, but if He doesn't, I'm still going to heaven. I'm still in a win-win situation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. We're talking about the power to forgive, the power to save, the power to take our sins away. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes it's even hard to comprehend this. How can you understand this? I mean, it's hard for us to understand how the death of one person can save a multitude of sinners. How the death of one person, Jesus Christ, can remove all of our sins. But it's happened. Verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Back to our text in Matthew chapter 9. First thing we see is His character. What is that character? The power to forgive. The power to forgive. The second thing that we see here in verse 9 of our text, in Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and He saith unto him, follow Me. And he arose and followed Him. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. He was a publican. He was despised by most Jews. They hated him. The only people that probably liked him was another Jew that was a tax collector or a publican. But tax collectors and publicans worked for the Roman government, and Jews did not like the Roman government. They hated the Roman government, and so they hated anybody, any Jew or anybody, that was collecting the taxes, putting part of that money in their own pocket and then giving the rest to the Roman government. It's interesting that Jesus saw something in Matthew that most others did not see. He saw a quality in Matthew that everybody else despised and hated. And when He looked at Matthew, He just simply said, follow Me. Follow Me. Luke chapter 5, verse 28, the Bible says, and He left all, rose up, and followed Him. Speaking about Matthew. He left all, rose up, and followed Him. Matthew left his job behind. He left his income behind. He left it all, according to Luke. He just left all and rose up and followed Jesus. The second thing that we see here is His call. The call of Christ. That call was a call to follow. Follow Me. Do you know there's not a greater call anywhere than the call that God gives to you and I to follow the Lord? There's no greater power, I believe, than the power to forgive sins. There's no greater call than to be called by the Lord to just follow Me. Follow Me. You know, it's a great privilege to serve maybe a great company. You might work for a great company, or you might like this company. It may be a privilege to serve that company. You might have a good godly boss. I don't know. But it may be a privilege to you to serve in that company, big or small. It may be a privilege to you to serve in a government agency. I don't know. It may be a great privilege to many to serve in the armed forces. Or to serve in some public way somehow. But the greatest call is the Lord calls to you and I and says, come follow Me. I want you to follow Me. I don't think there's a greater call as a Christian than to follow the Lord. Look at John 10, 27. John 10, 27. Many of our young people today, as they're growing up, they're looking for that wonderful, shining career. Everybody wants to make a lot of money. Their desire is to get a good career, get a good job, get a good paying job, get all the benefits that go along with the job, and have prestige and power within that job. So many go off to college today looking for that wonderful opportunity that they think they're going to get. Some get it, amen, but some don't. And John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," and what? "They follow me." They follow me. If you are a sheep, which if you're saved, you're a sheep, our job is to follow the shepherd. That's what our job is. That is a call that God has given. And the Lord said there, "They know me, I know them, they know my voice, I know who they are, and they follow me." John 12 and 20, verse 26. John 12, 26. John chapter 12, look at verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Are you serving the Lord tonight? Are you serving the Lord in some capacity? What are you doing for God? Great question, preacher. Thanks for asking. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for the Lord? Every time the Lord asks you to do something, do you argue with Him? You say, "I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Lord, I just leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do." A lot of Christians have that attitude. They may not say that, but their attitude is, "Leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do." We have empty pulpits in this land. And that should never ever be. There should never be an empty pulpit in our land. There's enough men in this country that can fill every empty pulpit that there is in every church that's preaching the Word of God. The problem is, it's not God's problem. The problem is men are not listening to the call of God. God is trying to direct people and trying to put them in different places, and a lot of people just aren't listening to God. They've got their own ways of doing things. They want to go their own place. They want to do their own thing, whatever. And when God calls men, men are supposed to answer the call that God gives. I'm thankful that we have men in this church that have answered the call of God. I believe God is preparing, God is training men in this church to do what God wants them to do. There is a time of training. Even Jesus had to train His disciples. They had a 3-year program, just like we're going through in the Faith Bible Institute. They had a 3-year program that they went through with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Boy, what an honor that was. To be trained by God alone, by God Himself. But when Jesus said to Matthew, "Come, follow me," Matthew just got up and said, "Yes, yes, Lord. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do." I think he left his bag of money back there on the table. Could have said to somebody, "Hey, anybody want this? Go ahead and take it. I don't need it anymore. I'm following the Savior. I'm following the Lord." What a privilege to follow Jesus Christ. The privilege is so great that few do it. But I would challenge anybody, find me something better to do than to follow the Savior. What's better than following the Savior? Nothing. What is of greater value than serving the Savior? Nothing. What is more important than serving the Savior? I don't think there's anything more important. Look at Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. The problem is with the spiritual ears of people. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." See, there's the problem right there. That's the problem. Men, people, Humans don't want to deny themselves. They like their things too much. They love their flesh too much. They love the world too much. They love all the things that they own too much. They don't want to give up anything today. Most people in America do not want to give up anything. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and what? Follow me. Do you know our flesh does not want to do that? Your flesh, my flesh, does not want to do that. But our spirit is begging us to do that. Our spirit is crying out to us. The Holy Spirit is begging Christians today, please follow the Savior. But we in America have too many things, we don't want to give up those things. The average American was asked to give up anything at all, the average American would kick and fight and fuss and say, no way, I'm not giving that up. There's very few today, I think they're in the minority, of people willing to give up everything for the Lord. Give up house to go off and serve the Lord somewhere. Here's a question for you. Is the Lord worth following? No. Wait. Really, is the Lord really worth following? Then why so few follow Him? And then thirdly, let's finish this message tonight. I don't want you to get too mad. And we'll end on a positive note here. The third thing that we see in our text in Matthew, we'll go back to Matthew chapter 9. In verse 10 it says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, you know, you could try to whisper so the Lord wouldn't hear, but you cannot whisper. Matter of fact, early on in the chapter in verse 4, Jesus knowing their thoughts. you can't even hide your thoughts. That's serious. That you can't even hide your thoughts. Whatever it is you're thinking, the Lord knows what you're thinking. And when they tried to whisper to the disciples or whatever they were doing there, trying to ask the disciples this whole thing, the Lord heard what they were saying. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We know that. I don't call up the doctor every week and say, hey, I just want to come by and visit you. Are you sick? No, I feel fine. Well, I don't have time for you that feel fine. I only have time for those that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The Pharisees pretended to be righteous. They thought they were righteous. I think really, when Jesus called them hypocrites over and over and over again, they realized when Jesus got done with them that they were hypocrites. But they thought, they pretended to be righteous. When they walked through the streets with their flowing robes, their phylacteries, and all the things that they had, and their big public prayers, they thought they were it. This is, hey, look at me. I'm Mr. Spiritual Giant here. They could quote scripture, they could quote the law, they could quote all kinds of things, and people looked up to them like they were the giants of success when it comes to spiritual and scriptural things. But Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're whited sepulchers. You're clean on the outside, but inside you're filthy. You're filthy and you stink. It's exactly what the Lord told him. But how about the willingness that Jesus had just to go and sit down there in Matthew's house? In verse 10, came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. Publicans and sinners. You know who those sinners were? Yeah, they were pretty bad sinners. Some were harlots, alcoholics, whatever else, adulterers. I mean, you could throw it, you could just fill in the blank, whatever you want to think about them. They were sinners, and the publicans, of course, were the people that were stealing money from the Jews by pocketing money from the taxes, collecting taxes. That's what a publican was. He was a tax collector. You might have an incredible special friend. How many of you, some of you may not be able to raise your hand, so don't raise your hand. But many of us have really special friends, don't we? You have somebody that you can call. Maybe you can call and get advice. You can call for encouragement. Maybe there's somebody that you can confide in. Maybe if you're short on money, you can call up somebody and they'll give you $10, $20, $30 or whatever it is you need. You might have a friend that is really your BFF. Right? You got a BFF? So many people, my BFF. Kids talk about that today. Everybody's their BFF. And so you might have a BFF. You might have a best friend forever or whatever. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. It's good to have a good friend, right? Amen. We all need a good friend. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate friend. Amen. But the Bible makes it clear to us that Jesus Christ is a friend to sinners. Look at Matthew 11. Just turn over a page or so, a couple pages. Matthew 11:19. Matthew 11:19. Son of man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Those that have really true wisdom are really the children of God. That's what the end of that verse means. But they accused him of being gluttonous. I don't think Jesus was overweight at all. They accused him of being a wine bibber. You know what a wine bibber was? Somebody that was drunk, possibly an alcoholic, somebody that constantly was tipping the alcohol, tipping the wine. They accused him of that. We know that that was not true. He was not gluttonous. He was not a wine bibber. But they also accused him of something that he was. A friend of publicans and sinners. That, say amen to that one, because that's true. He was. He was a friend to sinners. Jesus Christ is somebody that you can confide in. Jesus Christ ought to be your BFF. Amen. He ought to be your best friend forever. And He is your best friend forever. He tops any friend that you might have here as you're living through this life. He tops any friend that you and I have. Because He is our best friend. Look at Luke 15. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Luke 15, 1 and 2. I'm going to turn to it and read quickly because I know I'm getting late here. 15, 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Amen. Amen. He does. He eats with them and he receives them. Thank God for that. He received me. You ought to thank the Lord he received you. Because you were a sinner. You still are a saint that sins. You still sin. Thank God He received us. Thank the Lord that He's our friend. Look at Luke 18, verse 10. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. This guy was pretty good, right? I mean, you'd say the Pharisee was pretty good. He was really good in his own eyes. Because I've underlined every time he said, I thank thee. I am not as others. He goes on and says, verse 12, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This guy, I counted up the words. He said about 34 words, and most of it was directed to him. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying seven words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus Christ is a friend to sinners. Jesus Christ wants to have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is when we sit down with our Bibles and we open up our Bibles and we read from God's Word and we talk to Him through prayer. That's our fellowship. You don't have to just sit there and read your Bible to have fellowship with the Lord. You can talk with Him throughout the day. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night? Maybe God wants to talk to you. Do you ever think about that? You wake up in the middle of the night, oh, what am I doing awake? I need to get back to sleep. Maybe the Lord just said, hey, I just wanted to say hi to you. I just wanted to hear from you. I just want to know, hey, how you doing? The Lord just may want to have a little dialogue with you. And so many times if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll pray. Pray for different people that comes to mind or situations or whatever. You can have fellowship with the Lord all the time. Your friend, you may call your best, your BFF, and your BFF may not be able to answer the phone call. You might text your friend, and maybe your friend can't get right back to you. But anytime you get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's there listening. And He'll respond to you in a way that He needs to respond to you. 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read these last two verses and then we're done. 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible says, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship. I am amazed that the Lord would want to have fellowship with someone like me. Yeah. You ought to be amazed that the Lord would want to have fellowship with someone like you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't it a blessing that we can actually have communion with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord? We can talk to the God of heaven. We can talk to the Creator of the universe. We can talk to our Father anytime, day or night. And so His character has that power to forgive. His call, follow me. And His communion, let's have fellowship. Let's have fellowship. That's the greatness of Jesus Christ. Is He your Lord and Savior tonight? I hope and pray that He is. Those of you that are listening online, I hope and pray that Jesus Christ is your Savior tonight. If He isn't, He can be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. But He can't save you unless you want to be saved. He wants to save. He wants to have fellowship. He wants you to follow Him. He wants to be your leader. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Savior. I hope and pray that He is tonight. Father, thank You again for this message. Thank You, Lord, for the different verses that we looked at tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the amazing character that You have. The power that You have given, the power that